taken over.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome, staff, citizens, and visitors to our May 18, 2016 Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors meeting. First in order, we would like for you to join us in the pledge and a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We have a change in the agenda. Mr. Nichols?
Yes, ma'am. What I'd recommend is you move number 8 presentations up to the beginning, just so that the families of our two officers being on tonight don't have to stick around, because we've got a couple of public hearings and things. So I would recommend moving up. As soon as you adopt the agenda, let's go ahead and do that, and we'll bring them up to the awards.
All right, do I have a motion to adopt the agenda?
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt the agenda with the chains of presentations of T, the Fluvanna County Sheriff's Office.
Okay.
Second.
All right, it's been moved by Mr. Weaver and second by Mrs. Eager that we make the change in the agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
And the Vice Chair votes aye. So we will go with our presentation and board members.
Board members, can please come up front. Captain Von Hill will come to the microphone, and the sheriff can come up with Deputy Woodford and his family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We wanted to come this evening and draw some particular attention to some of the outstanding efforts that are going on inside of the Sheriff's Office with a few key individuals this evening. This evening, we are highlighting a program that we've been working on for a couple of years, which is our awards and recognition program in the Sheriff's Office. Through this program, we're able to poll people in the agency to identify outstanding efforts by part of other members of the agency. So tonight, we're going to bring to you two such incidents, actually three incidents and two people, of outstanding achievement. And these are life-saving efforts. And so the first one tonight is Deputy Patrick Wood. Deputy Patrick Wood was returning from a call assignment where he was out on a TDO, temporary detention order, or transport. Wood heard a call for service come over the radio of a man who was injured by a gunshot. Deputy Wood responded to that incident and was the first deputy to arrive at the scene of that incident. Deputy Wood had the forethought to carry an emergency medical kit with him to the scene of that incident, after which Deputy Wood, once he arrived on scene, provided immediate on-scene medical care to the injured man who was there. The man was shot at close range with a shotgun. He sustained massive trauma to his torso and was bleeding heavily. Deputy Wood managed to provide care and help control the bleeding of this individual. His skills from his time in the U.S. Marine Corps aided in his abilities until the EMTs arrived on scene about 14 minutes later. Thanks to no small effort for Deputy Wood, his rapid response, critical thinking, and care, the gunshot victim in this case survived his injuries. Deputy Patrick Wood was nominated because of this for Legion of Mercy Award in the Sheriff's Office. The Legion of Mercy Award in the Sheriff's Office is awarded to an appointee who distinguishes himself or herself by performing physical acts or rendering first aid techniques to aid in the preservation of human life. And so because of that, tonight he's going to be presented with a ribbon that he'll display on his uniform, and that ribbon is black and red in color, which is the Legion of Mercy. In addition to that award, we're also going to go ahead and give Deputy Wood a Sheriff's Office Service Medal, as he's been employed with our agency for more than 1 year, that he'll also display. Deputy Wood also has an associate's degree, and because of that degree, he'll also have a ribbon to display for that. The associate's degree ribbon is a gold ribbon with blue on each end of the bar, and the Sheriff's Service Award ribbon is red, white, blue, white, and red. So if you'll join me in congratulating him. Thank you. Have them nice and displayed there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Fruit salad, we call it.
Fruit salad. Deputy Tyler Wood. Deputy Tyler Wood is being distinguished for two. I'm sorry. Tyler Thornton, please forgive me. Deputy Tyler Thornton is being acknowledged for two life-saving incidents tonight. Which are as follows. He responded to a call for service in which an individual intentionally cut his hand off with an electric saw. This was in an attempt to end his own life. Once on the scene of that incident, Deputy Thornton responded quickly before EMS arrived on the scene. He secured a tourniquet on the individual to control his bleeding, and he determined that the patient was critically injured. This person required a medical air transport to the emergency department at the closest hospital. In response to this, the man actually survived. In addition to this, he also responded to a call for service in which a man intentionally cut his own throat with a pocket knife, lacerating his trachea and jugular vein while attempting to end his own life. Using minimal supplies that he had available, Deputy Thornton was able to control the bleeding, assist EMS with transporting the victim to a medical air transport, and then largely due to his quick and immediate decisive actions, this victim later had a full recovery from that incident. Thanks to Deputy Tyler Wood's rapid response and critical thinking and care, this victim also survived all of his injuries. Deputy Thornton was nominated for two distinct Legion of Mercy awards, to which he'll be receiving tonight one ribbon for the Legion of Mercy, which is black and red in color. In the center of that ribbon is a star, gold star, which represents the fact that he's had more than one award for this type of category. He'll also be receiving a Sheriff's Service Medal for full-time employment in the Sheriff's Office for more than 1 year. And he'll also be receiving a Marksman Award, which is solid blue in color. The Marksman Award represents that he's received a 90% or above with firearm scoring in an annual qualifications. So if you'll join me in congratulating him for all of his awards.
And to the families who put up with them, support them every day.
Start a meeting. Very nice. Thank you. Now we will have our town administrator's report.
Yes, ma'am. A number of things to report tonight. First of all, it's National Police Week, so we honor those law enforcement officers who have lost their lives in the line of duty and for the safety and protection of all of us. And that's celebrated this week through this Saturday. It's also National EMS Week, another group of individuals who serve our community and keep us safe and for incidents like this, to support the first responders on scene. Our EMS providers do much of the same, and we appreciate the hard work and dedication in our community of both these groups of individuals who serve us every day. Also want to give congratulations to Steve Hester, our ground supervisor. He's a recent graduate from the Master Gardener course. And so he's got the certificate, and that's not an easy thing to accomplish. And the other lady across the way over there, Kelly Belanger Harris, our clerk to the board, also graduated from Master Gardener class this year.
Congratulations.
A couple pieces of good news. The state vet came and did an unannounced inspection at the FSPCA that provides county pound services. It was an unannounced inspection, as I said. There were there's two categories, either no significant findings or findings. And every category was no significant findings. The inspector was thoroughly impressed by the improvements, and she actually reported that if there had been a comment section on the form, she would have put OMG on it.
Wow.
Because it was such an amazing improvement since her last. And I know that FSPCA staff has worked hard, but also the public works staff in supporting them and doing a lot of work over there themselves, and also getting contractors in to fix things that were beyond local capability. But quite a significant change, and we're really proud of all their efforts. The public works staff and staff from several departments also participated in the landfill's no deficiencies report in the April inspection. That's an accomplishment when you can get DEQ to give you no deficiencies. And so they worked really hard, and kudos to all those folks, Mr. Opie, Mr. Thomas, Mr. Morton, the other Mr. Thomas, Willis Thomas from FUSD, Roger Smith from FUSD, Robert Bryant, Steve Hester, Greg Sawyer, and Anthony Tanner. All contributed to that good report on the work they're doing maintaining that facility and meeting the DEQ requirements for closure of that landfill. There's significant requirements that are continuing for many years after it's closed. So. Also, just a reminder, the community business forum is tomorrow night. I'd like to just find out, and we'll have to check with Mr. Sheridan and Mr. O'Brien when they come, but are any of you coming tomorrow night? I just need to make sure we don't have three or more unless we announce a public meeting.
I have another engagement.
Okay. So we'll check with the other two. If we only have two, then you can speak up the whole night. If we're going to have three, we just need to announce it on the website and make sure people know that it's a public meeting, and we'll record we'll have a recording so there can be business discussed during the meeting as well. But we'll see if I would assume that Mr. Sheridan probably his team probably has a game tomorrow night, so maybe it'll be just two. But anyway, that's at St. Peter's and Paul Catholic Church. We're pleased to have the Chamber and the Economic Development Authority partner with us on that. We expect about 50 attendees, which is great, and should be a good evening, and get some good feedback from our local business community on how we can best collaborate together. And then some good news from the James River Water Authority bond pricing. That was held May 11th last week, and the interest rate went down again from what we had projected. It went down to 3.37%. I had been reporting to you that it would be about $500,000 a year for debt service split between the two counties. That went down to $490,000, and now with this new rate, it's down to $470,000.
Oh,
that's great. The debt service reserve fund will be half of that, the $235,143.75, but that will also be the maximum annual debt service payment, the $235,000, because the only year that it's actually at $470,000 is in year 30. Mm-hmm. All the rest of the years are $466,000, $468,000, $469,000. And so it'll be around $235,000 is the annual debt service, rather than the original $325,000, went down to $300,000, went down to $275,000 is what we budgeted for. And so we've got some
and that was for what, 20, 30 years?
30 years, sir.
30 years.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
Right. And then, so here's the, and the, I think Ms. Harris gave you a copy of the debt service sheet on it. And so you can see that the bond proceeds were a little over $9 million, but the debt service, the par amount was only $7.9 million, but because they were issued at a premium, it's 9.085. And then the local debt service reserve fund that Fluvanna and Louisa have to jointly fund for that's just a requirement of the VRA pool, it will be split. That's the $235,000. And then 3.37 is the all in true interest rate cost, which is great. And fortunately, we got this in and got it done before the spring pool deadlines, and so saved both counties a significant amount of money, because we do expect another at least a quarter point interest rate increase before the summer pool would happen.
Yeah, it looks that way.
So. Oh, wrong button. I'm just full of good news tonight. Another good news is the Blue Ridge Juvenile Detention Commission, we adopted the budget last week at our meeting
for fiscal year 17. The budget actually went down about $6,400 for our county. So we budgeted $264, but it's actually only $257 required. The other great news is that the debt service payment, that $71,000 in debt service, this is the last year for that. The debt for the original construction will be paid off, and so we'll have a $71,000 savings next year, which helps us offset some of the costs that are coming. That if we continue to find various things like that, it will help help make some savings and put a dent in some new costs that we'll have.
So maybe we can reduce our taxes next year, right?
I'm hoping so.
Yeah.
I'm not predicting.
No promises?
But I'm hoping so. No, I'm not promising at all. You have to vote on that, not me.
$6,400
savings this year, which is great. And then finally, an update on the community center kitchen. I got some additional information from a couple of different sources that I want to share with you. These are just an idea of the kinds of things that can be done in the community kitchen, in that commercial kitchen, if it gets built out. So the SNAP coordinator, one of our 4-H agents, the folks from some other area cooperative extension offices, and then our ag agent, John Thompson, all have ways to use that in the work that they do, whether it's 4-H day camps or classes, serve safe classes, or other types of things. So that's some examples of cooperative extension impacts. The Flavanna County Health Department also has a list of ways they want to use that kitchen. They would allow to be able to do nutrition education for the WIC clients. They can do some programming for pregnant women and children up to age 5, and then provide also serve safe classes that provides education about food handling to reduce foodborne diseases, and then do some community education on healthy eating. Now, as a recap, some of the things that have happened to date, they had a kitchen design done at no cost through Virginia Tech University, and a master's degree student did a design for the kitchen. They also received an equipment donation from JAVA, several pieces of equipment that were donated to the potential effort. And they also did a community survey. I'll just show you briefly. They did a community survey to get information back from the community about how many businesses would use it, or how would they use it, or what would be needed, what types of services they would want. So we've got some fairly extensive data from folks around the community on the usefulness of a commercial kitchen in our county. Oh, sorry. We've got to fix that some way. It's not going back in the exposure. And then they've also done, they presented to you before, a number of areas around the state where they've checked on other business projects that were similar, and to find out what rates and how well the facilities were used, and that was presented last spring. What the new piece of news is Dr. Bonds, the health district director, called me on either Thursday or Friday last week and reported that she was going to have about $20,000 to $25,000 in vacancy savings over the course of this fiscal year, because they had some gaps in between approvals. We fund the health department about, I think, $275,000, somewhere around there, Eric. $275,000, the health department funding is about, yeah. I think it's about $275,000 is the required funding. But they will have some savings in there. What Dr. Bonds requested is, she formally requested to return these funds to Flavanna County as excess, but for use in finishing the commercial kitchen. As normally a carryover, you carry over for one of two things, either an ongoing program or for a specific request that was part of an ongoing program. But this was a request, an unsolicited request, and because they believe that the community kitchen serves their health department needs in serving citizens, you could potentially apply that to that operation. Now, the commercial kitchen estimated cost to outfit that kitchen is about $35,000. The extension has $5,000 available in their FY17 budget. You've got this potential $20,000 if you wanted to. And then the previous one, because we just got the figures in from Blue Ridge Juvenile Detention, that'd be $6,400. You could almost finish this out with only a $6,000 new contribution from the county, and that's on savings in next year's budget already. So because it was a formal request from the district director, I wanted to present it to you. And if you want to consider it, then I'll come back with a formal proposal when we do the carryover funds later in the year, or maybe even later in June. But I wanted all five of the board members to be able to hear this and make a decision on what you want me to do. But because it's a formal request, those have to come to you, and that's why you're seeing it tonight. So any recommendations, comments, ideas, or just wait and brief again when the other two come? Or?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'd wait.
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay. Now, on June 15th, you've got your regular 7 o'clock meeting on June 15th. I'd like to schedule a work session that afternoon at 4 p.m. We've got two significant things we need to talk about. The Commissioner of the Revenue and myself and Mr. Dahl have been working on a variety of revenue enhancement options, some things to just better control of existing rules and regulations, but some ways that we might be able to adjust tax revenue by not changing anything that we do other than enforcing the existing rules and regulations that are on our books. But there's a whole variety, we have 10 or 11 different alternatives and options for you to look at and consider and discuss. And then also we want to start talking hard again about the ordinances and policy updates we may need for the infrastructure and economic development potential at Zion Crossroads. There's a variety of rules that we're going to have to start getting in place about water hookups and the rates for those and the rules about who has to hook up or not hook up to water systems. And so we want to go through a variety of those. So with the board's concurrence, I would schedule a work session at 4 p.m. on that day before your 7 o'clock meeting.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It's fine.
Okay, great. And then I'll be out next week. I'm leaving Saturday on vacation for a week, and Mr. Dahl will be covering while I'm gone. So any questions? Oh, one more thing. So here's the upcoming meetings, and this one's marked in yellow because that's the work session I'm requesting. Is that 4 o'clock work session. Then the ones in red below that, just to remind you, you changed the sequence this year, so you've got only one meeting in July this year, and it's the first meeting of the month, but it'll be a 4 o'clock meeting followed by a 7 o'clock meeting, and then no meeting again until the first meeting in August. So those are the upcoming meetings until close towards the end of the summer. Any questions I can answer for the board?
No, I wonder if we could write a little note to the SBCA for all the help that they've given to us. And
I did, but I'll draft one up and send it on behalf of the board.
Okay.
Okay, good. Yes, sir.
Any questions? If not, isn't this nice? We have a little board here, but we have a habit of looking back here. We have a habit of looking here.
I keep looking back here.
I'm trying to save your neck and have your face in the
eyes. Yes, I see Don
yes.
moving around.
And then I know better. I get back here.
That's nice. So we have to get used to that. Thank you. If there are no questions for the county administrator, we will have our Board of Supervisors update. Mrs. Eager.
Last Saturday, we went to... participated in a resolution for the Eagle Scout. It's called Eagle Scout Court.
Yes.
And
all of us were there.
And we were there.
We made history.
Yeah.
That was great.
And I wrote a stamp. I want to say that.
You did what?
It was Tyler Gavilovic. And we presented the board's resolution. And I'd never been to a scout, Eagle Scout court before, and it was quite interesting. And then yesterday morning, Mrs. Booker and I toured Vanderlyn Recycling, and that was...
In the rain.
Yeah, but it was fun, and I was really
with Jason.
Excited to do that. Mm-hmm. It's a great operation. Also, I think Mr. Vanderlyn said that he doesn't think that a lot of people know that there's free recycling, mm-hmm. So maybe we should do something to put that on our website or...
And Ms. Eager, we have to be a little careful advertising things about businesses on our website, but that's specifically the kind of thing that may be reasonable and appropriate because it's a service to the community, mm-hmm. And I want to hear of that tomorrow night. That's one of the things we're really looking for, because one of the approaches we'd like to do is on the business webpage, we'd be able to to feature local businesses or services they offer, things that maybe people don't know. And it won't cost us anything to do that. We just, mm-hmm. Get input from. So that would be one of the good type of items we could share with the community.
Yeah, might be a big savings for people that wouldn't have to have pickup, right. Trash pickup that they pay for.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
I made my first regular meeting to the regional jail in Orange this last Thursday.
Anyone on there that you knew from when you were on before?
Well, one of the Louisa guys introduced me as one of the greatest liberals that we ever had. So we knew where he was going.
It was the Bernie sticker that got him.
Yeah. His name was Mr. Wade.
Oh, yeah.
You know Mr. Wade. Okay.
Mr. Wade, yeah.
Yeah. And then I toured some of the jail that's been renovated, and then Sheriff Hess, I think he has gotten maybe a part-time person from the regional jail over there to help some in the county. So that's where I spent my Thursday evening.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then of course you were at Old Farm Day.
Oh, Old Farm Day. Mm-hmm. Couldn't miss that.
Yeah.
He was
right.
Kissing ladies. That
kissing all the yeah. all the women there.
In the kissing booth.
And making money.
Making money.
Yes, that's great.
Meals on wheels.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. Okay. I went to the memorial service at Antioch for Deputy Bishop's mother-in-law. And of course, you brought her. I went to school board meeting, and I went to JABA's executive board meeting. JABA had a resource fair at all of the centers this year, and there was one at Fork Union on May the 11th, so I attended that. I attended the Fluvanna and Louisa Housing, and I went to the Intergenerational Partnership Council meeting. And Wheels on Meals presented at that meeting. That was very interesting. I hope we realize how important Meals on Wheels is to the county. We don't give the county any county money, but they get all of theirs from grants and donations. And we have a 7-day where people can get something to eat. On the weekends, church here at
Palmyra Methodist.
They furnish the meal on the weekend.
On Saturday and Sunday, mm-hmm. like that.
Mm-hmm. And they have enough so that, they may not eat it all. So, they have enough for a snack or whatever. So I thought that was interesting.
Former board member, is on that route, too.
Joe Tessa. Uh-huh. He was there to help with the presentation. So that was good. Okay, if we're finished with that, now we will have our first public comments. Anyone who would like to speak to the Board of Supervisors, would you please come to the mic and give your name and address, and you have 5 minutes to speak to the board. Public comment number one is open. Okay, public comment number one is closed. Thank you. All right. Now we have our public hearings. We have two this evening. The first one is BDOT Construction, SSYP and Construction Priority List. Mr. Wayne Stevens. Do I have the right person here? Wayne Stevens.
Wayne's just the staff contact with Mr.
D'Annunzio.
And his partner in crime were both here.
Yes. I knew that was Mr. D'Annunzio, but wasn't sure. Thought Wayne had changed.
Good evening, members of the board. I'm Joel D'Annunzio. I'm the VDOT resident engineer in the Charlottesville residency. With me tonight is Greg Banks. He's from our Culpeper district. Greg is, he develops these secondary six-year plans for us every year. So he's going to go over the details of the plan. I'd like to start by saying every time this year we come to the boards with a draft secondary six-year plan for your consideration, public hearing, and action. The secondary six-year plan is a combined effort by the states and the counties throughout the state to develop the construction funding and priorities for all secondary roads in each county. If the secondary road system is any road with a route number of 600 and above. So any road 600 to whatever can be considered. Now, the partnership here is that the counties are responsible for prioritizing the projects on the plan, and VDOT is responsible for putting the funding in place in that priority and designing and constructing those projects. So with that said, I'll go ahead and turn it over to Greg. He's going to go over the details of your secondary six-year plan, and then you can have your public comments.
Good afternoon. It's Joel Mitchell.
Good afternoon.
My name is Greg Banks. I'm with VDOT. I'm in the Culpeper District Office. You have before you a draft secondary six-year plan for Fluvanna County. You will see it's made up of three different fund types, which can be broken down into two categories. There's two fund types in this particular plan that have to be used on gravel roads. They're the CTB formula unpaved state and district grant unpaved. You'll see there's funding in all 6 years, albeit there's not a lot of funding for gravel roads here in Fluvanna County. There's not a lot of eligible roads here in the county. Most of your roads have been paved, so that's a it's a, based on a percentage of eligible routes here within the state, and obviously Fluvanna doesn't have a lot at this point in time. And then finally, utility fund. This can be used on any secondary road in Fluvanna County, gravel or paved. And that's where the larger amount of funding is available in the secondary six-year plan. One thing of change from previous years when we've completed plans is that all projects in the secondary six-year plan, and I'll kind of break this down and describe a little better, but all projects in the plan have to be fully funded by January 1, 2018. And what that means is the plan in which is in place by January 1, 2018 has to have funding on all projects. Projects have to be fully funded throughout the 6 years of that plan. So next year would be the last attempt at a secondary six-year plan prior to January 1, 2018. In that plan, you would have funding in place for fiscal years 18 through 23. So certainly any project that's in next year's plan would have to be fully funded within the life of that secondary six-year plan. Moving forward with that in mind, we'll get to the particulars of the plan. You'll see the first priority in the secondary six-year plan is North Boston Road. Based on the estimate that's shown here in the plan, it is fully funded. Along with the next priority in the secondary six-year plan is North Boston Road, which is Route 633. That route number changes as you proceed north. That project you'll see has an estimate of $2.8 million with only $51,000 previous and a very large sum of $2.7 million left to fund. And with $82,000 a year, obviously that project's not going to be fully funded come January 1, 2018. With that in mind, we've been working with county staff here in the recent last month or two with some different alternatives that maybe we can do to make use of those funds for the two North Boston Road projects. And we'll continue to do so and kind of come up with some ideas to find a project that fits the budget or the amount of money that's available. We've floated a couple different scenarios and possibilities of things we can do, and we'll continue to do that in the coming months. The next road is Fayette Street. This road was in the plan last year in the secondary six-year plan. This is a gravel road in the former town of Columbia. Last year it had an estimate of about $214,000. This year the estimate is $112,000, and that's because last year there's about a little less than a mile of gravel road in the former town of Columbia, and we were hoping to maybe try to do all of those gravel streets with that $214,000.
Fayette Street.
Fayette is
up on the hill.
Oh, on the hill.
It parallels
okay.
Six on the backside
yeah.
there. Yes,
all
ma'am.
Right.
And we looked to see if we could go ahead and do all the streets there in Columbia while we're doing that. So in actuality, we're still going to be budgeting about $214,000. It's broken out separately into several projects now so that all the existing gravel roads in Columbia, or excuse me, in the former town of Columbia, would be hard surface at the time in which we've completed the projects. So for sake of new to the plan, you'll see Tammany Street and Ravenna Street. And over on the next street, you'll see Andrew Street, St. Patrick Street. These are all new to the plan. However, we would hope to have done those with last year's budget. Now we're breaking out separately into separate streets.
Well, doesn't Tamworth Street go up to the church, to the Columbia Church? It doesn't? Tamworth Street. It's right off of 6.
Tammany?
Yeah. Doesn't go up to the church? Columbia, I mean, it probably doesn't go any further because the Columbia Church is right there and it has a circle driveway. It's a little short street.
Yes, ma'am. And there's a short section there that is gravel.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, ma'am. Moving on beyond that, the final gravel road project in the secondary six-year plan is Middle Fork Road. This project was in last year's secondary six-year plan. As you'll see there, we have $202,000. And then we'll be receiving some additional funding throughout the course of the next 6 years. There's a balance to complete of $60,000. 803, but we're hopeful that there'll be some surplus funds left over on those streets there in the former town of Columbia that may help us to fully fund that project, certainly by fiscal year 23. At least that's our hope. And then finally, one of the other changes you'll notice, Bremo Road Bridge was in the plan last year. That project, there's no funding in place for that project, so we're recommending that project be dropped from the secondary six-year plan until some funding is available for that particular bridge. However, there is at least one bridge in the secondary six-year plan, which is Deep Creek Road. This is Route 629. These funds are not part of the secondary six-year plan that you're approving here tonight. However, it is on a secondary road here in the county of Fluvanna, so I wanted to make you aware of it and show it here in the secondary six-year plan for your awareness. That's why you'll see a BR there under those fund types. Because they are in addition to what you'll see here on the cover page of potential funds that actually at your discretion here tonight. There are some other line items in the secondary six-year plan that are not specific to actual routes themselves for engineering and survey, rural additions, traffic services, and right-of-way engineering that, again, are not specific to actual routes. I'd be happy to entertain any questions you may have prior to the public hearing or even after that.
Do we have any questions?
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, it seems like we continue to get less funding all the time on these roads from where we were 5, 6, 7 years ago, especially.
Absolutely. Back maybe as much as 7 or 8 years ago, it was a lot more funding than it is today. I would say that we have been pretty successful with completing a good number of projects. Probably not to the scale that they were years ago, but we've completed several rural rustic projects. I think since last year, I would add a couple projects that have dropped out since last year. Stone Lay Road right across the 15 here has been completed since last year. Route 714 Union Church Road in the southern part of the county has been completed since last year. It seems like we've done maybe two or three a year for the last several years, so we have been very active in our rural rustics. And we would hope to continue that again this year with those roads there in the former town of Columbia.
Any other questions?
This doesn't include the roundabout that's here?
No, ma'am. That's on a primary route. This is for the secondary six-year plan, okay. Which is Route 609.
I was just going to ask a little bit about the countywide traffic plan, and just if you could describe that a little bit more, the dollars allocated for that. It's not on the screen right now, so looking for that there.
This?
Nope, a little bit higher up.
That's the top.
Oh, that's the top? Sorry.
It was down.
There's some countywide. There's four countywide items there in the bottom. Rural additions, engineering survey, traffic services, and right-of-way engineering.
And that's just generic? Or that's
they're generic. So say traffic services sometimes is used to conduct speed studies. Okay. Right-of-way engineering, courthouse research, condemnation cases sometimes when it's impractical to open up a project. Maybe it's been completed for a number of years. Sometimes we have condemnation cases that are settled 10, 15 years after the project's been completed and the project's been balanced out. So for that reason, we carry some of these generic line items in the plan to cover those expenditures.
And what happens if those monies aren't used for that purpose? Do they come back into sort of the pool for the county or not?
No, well, they can be used for other purposes as well. That's certainly what they set up here in the plan for. Sometimes we may have a project come in and bids come in more than we expect. We pull from those areas sometimes in order to meet that to bid so that we can put the project out to award. So certainly we have the discretion of moving around based on the priorities that the board sets. Mm-hmm. The board sets the priorities here, and that's what we're doing here tonight. And if something comes in and it's a lack of funding, then we have the ability to pull priority funding from priorities lower to those priorities higher. Okay.
All right, any other questions? Okay, if not, I will open the public hearing. If we have anyone present who would like to speak about our six-year plan, and that is VDOT-SSYP. And construction priority list. Anyone? Please come to the mic, give your name and the address. Any questions? If not, I'll close the public hearing. Next public hearing is
Vote on this one.
Oh, we have to vote.
Discussion and vote.
Okay, any discussion? Yes.
What's in these boxes?
This is the only roads that are being considered right now in the secondary system.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
What it's in these boxes that you just showed us.
All the information in the boxes?
Is that the only thing that you're going to be working on?
Are those the only roads you're considering? Because
yes.
They're the only ones in the six-year plan.
Yeah,
right
they're
now,
the
right?
ones.
Okay.
They're the ones currently in the secondary system plan.
Okay, and maybe we need to say how do we get other roads, and with Mrs. Eager being new, maybe.
How do you get new projects in?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, we typically, what happens every year is VDOT and the county staff will get together and discuss potential road projects. So the way to get them in is during either those discussions or at a work session that we could schedule if you wanted to talk about. But you're welcome to contact me at any time, and if you have a road project you like, we could scope it out and talk about the potential for that road project.
Yeah, I've been concerned about Paynes Mill Road.
Okay.
The edges are so broken down, and it's a narrow road, so it's easy to fall
so
off.
Narrow, so some trench wide, kind of a trench widening and widening that road.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
Some of the banks are close to the edge.
It sounds like a similar project to the North Boston Road project.
It's very similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of needs for that type of project throughout the counties.
Okay. Any other questions?
Since I was late, and I apologize for that, the aspect of the repairs on the towards the upper end of 15, I think we brought those up last time.
15 is not part of the secondary road system.
Oh, this is strictly secondary road.
Okay. Yes, sir.
All right, thank you.
All right.
I mean, you can still ask the question.
No, you can ask any questions.
No, I'm ensuring that was part of the priority, but obviously it's not the priority. I believe that's all on course.
Yeah. Yeah, the secondary six-year plan is really it's starting to focus on gravel roads, especially with the House Bill 2 that we started last year and the roundabout projects you have. Those could be either secondary or primary projects, but a lot of the plans are starting to be like gravel or concentrating on gravel roads.
Okay.
And hard surface and that.
All right. If there aren't any more questions, are we ready for a motion?
I move to accept the resolution for the VDOT secondary six-year plan 2016-17 through 2020-21 and VDOT construction priority list 2016-17 as required.
Yeah, that's the wrong motion.
33-1-23 and 33-1-23.4 of the 1950 Code of Virginia.
So I have a time going on.
Yeah. All right. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. It has been moved by Mr. O'Brien, second by Ms. Eager. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The vice chair votes aye. Thank you. Our next public hearing is for SUP 1604 Antioch Brewing Company, LLC.
Thank you. Good evening, members of the board.
Mr. Green.
This is for Special Use Permit 1604 for Raymond and Kristen Bunch. Ms. Bunch is here this evening, as well as their representative, Mr. Alan Equimet. This is a request for a small home industry zoned on A1 property. It's 2.04 acres of tax map 27-10-4. It's located in a rural preservation planning area. Small home industry is defined as a small commercial, professional, or light industrial use, which does not in any way detract from adjacent agricultural or residential uses. Also, small home industry excludes large-scale industrial or commercial uses. The small home industry itself must be located on the same parcel as the residence and within 500 feet of said residence. The applicant proposes to operate the Antioch Brewing Company, LLC, and the business will operate from a 24-by-24-foot existing garage, which is within 500 feet of the main house. The purpose of the brewing company is just for production only. This is not a pub or a tavern. This will not be open to members of the public. This is strictly for production purposes. Currently, there is a daycare located on the residence. However, the garage is separated from the house. Deliveries will be made on Saturdays only. They're not expecting any client visits. There will be no outside employees other than the applicant and the representative. And the hours of operation will be Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., with additional hours for deliveries and pickups for Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. as well. This is a view of the property on the road. I'm located on 360 Branch Road. This is a view of the house as well as the garage. If you members would look at the screen up here, we have the house. which is separated. The house is here, the garage is here. It's separated by fences and hedgerows, so there's no contact between the two buildings, and there's plenty of fencing. This is a view of the garage itself. As you can see, it's well screened in the rear as well as on the sides by both natural and man-made landscaping. And if you notice these...
We've got a picture over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, the pointer. I'm going to figure out a way to make the pointer show up there.
We'll have to use mirrors.
It's bigger. Larger.
I'm sending a note to our IT director now.
Just a little notepad.
This way.
We have three cypress trees right by the entrance to the garage. And as you can see, the view from the road...
Beautiful.
All you can see are the cypress trees, so you can't even see the garage from the road. VDOT has said that there's plenty of line of sight access for delivery trucks coming down both sides of the road. In conclusion, this is a request for a small home industry to operate the Antioch Brewery Company LLC Production Brewery. The hours of operation will be 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, with hours of operation for deliveries as well on Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. The Planning Commission recommended approval 500 at their April 27th meeting. As for potential adverse impacts, there could be an increase in traffic entering and exiting the property. If you have any questions, both myself and the applicant's representative are here. Otherwise, I have a motion for the board.
All right. Do we have any questions? And would the applicants are here? So
no.
If you have any questions, for whatever questions, if you want
you
to
have
ask them, they're
hearing.
Here too.
I have a public hearing.
Oh.
Okay. Well, you can hear the applicant first if you want.
Yeah, we can talk
and
to
then
the
go
applicant
to public hearing.
First and then to the public here. Okay, would you like to ask any questions of the applicant?
Well, no question. I went over there this afternoon about 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. No one was there. I knocked on the front door, knocked on the side door, and then I went to the back of the house, and I would like to have actually seen in the garage, but no one was there. But I don't think that there's will be any disturbance to any of the neighbors. It really is very secluded back there, and I don't see anything wrong with it myself.
So this was because you wanted a free sample, is that?
I was looking for it. Yes, but they weren't there.
That would violate the conditions of the SUP.
Yes, that's the conditions of the SUP.
I was wondering why we don't have some right now.
Yeah.
It is my knowledge that if approved, this would be the first brewery in the county.
All right.
There you go.
I noticed that there's the first licensed brewery.
Yes.
There is a difference.
We don't want to talk about the others.
I noticed that there's a hop field there, and is that part of the production? And
yes.
So are the barleys and the wheats all being sourced locally as well, too?
We do plan on doing it.
Wow. Gee.
Good evening. My name's Alan Crummett. I am one of the representatives of Antioch Brewing Company. My partner Raymond Bunch is currently on his fourth tour. That's why he's not here. But in answer to your question, yes, we do want to do stuff locally. Obviously, we want to encourage growth within the county. We're mm-hmm. excited about who's going to be experiencing our beer. We're excited about that part of it. We're already talking to various people about how to get rid of our old grains and how to get new grains. We want to work with everybody as much as we can within the county and outlying counties, because there's so much out there that we can tap into that we'll benefit from and they'll benefit from as well.
And what's the production capacity of the garage in general?
Right now we have a triple barrel system. We can potentially put out 40 gallons of beer each batch that we do, which takes approximately 5-6 hours. Mm-hmm. So on a daily basis, we could put out quite a bit.
So you're for fermentation purposes and so on. You can produce that much in a 40 gallons a day.
It sounds
like almost 80 gallons a day.
We could do that much in a day. That's not our plan right off, obviously, because we don't have anywhere to sell that much. But we do have to go through the fermenting process 2 weeks and then bottling 2 weeks. Right now we bottle condition everything.
So you're fermenting in the bottle or you're fermenting outside?
Fermenting in the bottle, yes. Okay. We don't want to do, we're trying to stay away from forced carbonation. We like everything to be natural. Mm-hmm. It has a better flavor. Mm-hmm. And again, we can utilize local stuff for that. So
any plans to have a real brewery?
What was that?
Any plans to have a place where you will...
Well, long-term goal, yes.
I know that, but I'm talking about a facility where you...
Long-term goal, yes. Short-term, we want to stay where we're at.
Okay.
We want to make sure that we can do this on our own. We don't want to have to take in a whole lot of money and have to worry about giving it back if we're not being successful, which I don't think is going to be the case. Our long-term range goal is within 3 to 5 years, find 10 acres and do just like the winery just down the road, where we can have an eventual brew pub, kind of like they have down in Nelson County, Livingston area.
Okay. Great.
And is the hop field sufficient enough to meet your needs, or will you be buying hops?
We will still be buying hops, but what we're expecting to do with the hops that we do grow, we've already got some that we saved from last year. Every year we get more and more because the vines do get healthier as long as we maintain them. We don't have any more frost. We've had some crazy weather this year. But yes, we do plan on using as much as we can of ours and not buying too many outside.
Were you previously selling the hops?
We're not at the point where we're thinking about growing them for that reason. Mm-hmm. I know that hop farms are becoming a big thing in Virginia. We are the fastest growing state with that. I think they're up to, I think I heard 62 acres in the state now, which is awesome. But we're not looking to do that right now. We just want enough for us, which is typically what we're seeing in some of the other breweries we go around and look at, talk to, do tours of. They're growing for what they need only.
I see. 62 acres, that's it.
That doesn't sound like a lot, but that's a lot when it comes to hop because it doesn't take a whole lot of room to grow them. It really doesn't. They grow up.
Yeah, and I hear they're hard to produce.
They're a pain to harvest. Lots of gloves.
Sound like you know a whole lot about
it. Yeah, our only license is right. We should do some checking.
Yes.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Other revenues?
Where will your water come from? Well, is it well water?
Well water. And we really like the quality of Fluvanna well water.
Yeah.
And we believe that contributes a lot to the quality of our beer. I mean, we've gotten a lot of compliments. Our beer's been sampled all the way from Maryland, North Carolina, various friends that we have, and everybody has said it's really good tasting, and I'm pretty sure that the Fluvanna water's got a lot to do with that.
So where do you sell, where's your beer sold?
We're not selling anything because we're not legal.
You're not selling.
We're giving away everything, and that's why we want to hurry up and get this rolling so that we can start recovering our losses and start growing our business.
Okay, right. All right.
So in our research and development over the last 3 years, we've developed different flavors of what we like and had different people sample them.
Right.
And we've got a lineup of what we want to make based on that.
Okay. All right. Any other questions?
Did the Planning Commission put some conditions on there to make sure that the county got...
Six conditions. Just don't drink.
No, sir.
Okay, just a thought check. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a new take on economic development.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Now we will open up the public hearing. Anyone who would like to speak to the board about the SUP 1604, would you please come forward to the mic, give your name and your address, and you have a five minutes to speak with us.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My name's Joe Taylor of 116 South Boston. Just overhearing your business plan, I was just curious. I'd heard a daycare, and so I was just curious what measures are being done to protect children potentially, or like for your business. That's all. If you could expand on that, I feel like that's a responsible thing to inquire about.
Okay. Anyone else would like to come to the mic? Can I call the applicant?
I would go ahead and close the public hearing and call the applicant back up.
Okay. If no one else, I'd like to close the public hearing and then would the applicant come forward so we can address the daycare situation.
Mm-hmm. Hello, I'm Kristen Bunch. So I'm in charge of the daycare. Nobody goes through me. But I just wanted to mention that, you know, the plan for the business is to work outside of the house. Nobody's in the house. The play yard is away from where the business is. It's complete opposite side of the property. So there's a very big difference physically. Then, as well as the fact that the employees are my husband and Alan, and so there are only two right now. Don't look for there to be any more. at this time as far as the plan goes. Mm-hmm. So there's no additional foot traffic, no people traffic. Right. The only additional traffic would be for you guys coming in to, okay, to monitor whatever may, right, need to be
Could
seen and whatnot.
Could you show us where your daycare, where?
So in the house right here, so this is the house, and this is the main, so this is the road up here, and this is the main driveway. Mm-hmm. So we have an entrance door right here at the edge of the driveway, and inside the house right here is where we stay the entire time. Our play area or play space is on this piece up here, the corner of the yard up here. So the only possible interaction between the two would be the parents coming in the driveway here and dropping off, and then the driveway right here for deliveries. The driveway for deliveries would then go down this side and into this building. All of this, see the red line here? This is completely fenced in up from here down,
yeah, yeah,
and then here down. My play yard is additionally fenced in up here completely, so the children have no access to this area or this driveway down here.
All right.
Yeah, they have a good fence around the place. I saw that.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Are we ready for the motion? Yes, sir.
Madam Chair, I move that the Board of Supervisors recommend approval of Special Use Permit 1604, a request to allow for a small home industry with respect to 2.04 acres of tax map 27, Section 10, Partial 4, subject to the six conditions listed in the staff report, and that is listed back with six different ones. I won't go, yes, into detail on it,
Madam Chair,
unless you want to.
Yes,
the just a formal matter. You ought to be, the motion ought to be that the Board of Supervisors approve, yeah, special use permit. This is actually the form of the motion for Planning Commission.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
Right.
So made.
Note, we note that correction. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right. It has been the motion has been made by Mr. Weaver and second by Mrs. Speaker. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. From the chair. Anyone opposed? All right. Four to four. And we know that Mr. Sherman's not here. Okay, so we have four ayes. Okay, thank you very much. Now we will go to our action matters. JRWA Debt Service Reserve Fund Payment. Mr. Dahl.
Madam Vice Chair, members of the board, what you have before you is a supplemental appropriation. This is just kind of tying off of what Mr. Nichols presented in his county administrator's report. It's a supplemental appropriation for the James River Water Authority in the amount of $235,143.75. This is for the Fluvanna County's 50% okay portion of the debt service reserve fund. The debt service reserve fund was a condition of the BRA's financing for JRWA. As Mr. Nichols explained before, the debt service reserve fund was set up to be no more than 1 year, the highest debt service year worth of payments. And the $235,143 is Fluvanna County's 50% portion of that $470,000. The funds would come from uncommitted fund balance, and during the budget discussions, we had kind of anticipated $250,000, but after the actual closing of the VRA loan, this is the new updated lower amount. And I can answer any questions if you have any.
So just please note, you've got a revised motion on the screen with those figures in. So.
Mm-hmm. Seems like the longer we wait, the payments keep going down. Maybe maybe we better wait another month. And
if you want to hedge your bets on that one.
Maybe down.
Sooner or later, we're going to lose.
you got that right. Because we're down pretty low now.
Right. Any questions? All right. Are we ready for motion?
Sure.
Okay. It's the one
I move the Board of Supervisors approve a supplemental appropriation for the James River Water Authority in the amount of $235,143.75 for a debt service reserve
from fund in connection with the Virginia Resource Authority debt issuance and with funding to come from uncommitted fund balance.
All right. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. We have a motion by Mrs. Eager and a second by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye. Ms. Wise, thank you. Next one, Sheriff's Office Position Realignment, and we have HR Manager, Ms. Gail Parrott.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Bless you.
It's been about 2 years since the sheriff did his major overhaul and reorganized his staffing flow and organizational flow. And with the retirement of Captain Brennan, we've stood back and taken a look at how well everything's been running. And there were some little tweaks that he needed to make internally. And one of the pieces was using his lieutenants, and he needed to move one of the lieutenants back into the court system. They needed more supervision in that area. In doing so, that opened up in no supervisory position in the investigators. Therefore, he is requesting to take one of the current investigator positions and make it a sergeant investigator's position. And in doing so, that initial move would be about $2,200 cost. However, the whole overall reorganization and shifting will be a savings between $6,000 to $10,000, even though it would be an increase in cost in that one particular position because it is bringing it up into a supervisory position. The overall savings will be, depending on what, you know, when we bring somebody new in to fill a blank position, it'll be between $6,000 to $10,000 savings. Are there any questions?
All right, any questions?
Is that savings because there's one less person that
no.
to hire?
No, it's how the shifting and reutilizing when you're moving people and promoting up, when you have somebody that retires, when you promote somebody up, the
don't
savings.
Make as much money as the
correct.
Retiree. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a domino from all these positions because there's a variety of moves happening within Sheriff's Department
correct.
And County Administrator Authority. This one specifically because it's a promotion requires board approval.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
And the sheriff's here if you have any questions mm-hmm. of the sheriff.
No.
All right. Are we ready to make a motion?
I move that the Board of Supervisors approve a conversion
sorry.
Of a deputy sheriff investigator position, pay band 14. To a deputy sheriff, sergeant of investigations, pay band 15, effective immediately at a cost of approximately $2,291, with such funds to come from FY16 sheriff's office personnel funds.
Yeah.
Okay.
Second.
All right, the motion is made by Mrs. Eager and second by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye. We have four.
And there's just a typo on the other sheet you saw. It said 2921. It's 2221.
Oh, did I say 29?
No, you said
no,
correctly.
You said it correctly.
Yeah, motion correct, ma'am.
Where it says the physical
document.
Impact.
So
yeah.
We listed 2921. So.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you. Appointment to the Economic Development and Tourism Advisory Council. Mr. Smith, Director of Community and Economic Development.
Members of the board, this is a follow-up from our last meeting when you all accepted the charter for the Economic Development and Tourism Advisory Council, and I'm here tonight to present to you all the opportunity to choose a member to be a part of our team.
Okay.
Do you all have any questions about the EdTech role or team?
Anyone have any questions?
No.
Need to volunteer.
Oh, I'd like to volunteer.
Okay.
I was waiting for somebody to say something. I'd love to do it.
I have enough.
So we stay,
all right,
motion
thank
with,
you, Mr.
Yes.
Eager. All right, that's all we have to, we just have to put her in this motion. Please make the motion and put our person in there.
I move to appoint Trish Yeager as the Board of Supervisors liaison to the Economic Development and Tourism Advisory Council effective immediately.
Second. All right, do we have a second?
There's a meeting later tonight.
Do we have All right, we have a motion, Mr. Weaver, second for Mr. O'Brien. All in favor? Anyone opposed? Vice Chair votes aye.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Creation of revised updated position description for Deputy County Administrator. Ms. Parrish?
With all of the projects that we have going on and the increased demands on the staffing, we took a look and reevaluated also some of our needs within the administrator's offices. And one of the needs is to give Mr. Nichols a little bit of relief as more and more projects are coming on. And although we've always had, since I've been here, the open position of the assistant county administrators, we looked at the budget, we looked at the costs, and felt we did not want to bring forth asking for that position to be reestablished. So we looked at reassigning and moving some job duties. And in doing so, we are recommending to take the position of the finance director and expand it to a deputy county administrator / finance director. The cost is approximately $12,000, but the cost of a full position would be anywhere from $110,000 to $120,000 if we were asking for the assistant county administrator position to be reactivated. Is there any questions?
Any questions?
Well, who's going to take on his duties then?
No one. He'll retain his duties.
And do that at the same time.
And take on some extra, yes.
And you don't plan on then adding another person in there at any time then in the near future?
No, sir.
No.
I mean, in the coming years,
yes.
The organization will continue.
We'll
continue to present alternatives and options. But at this time, I don't have any other plans until we get to a budget year, and then we'll see what's needed then. But right now, no.
Yeah, I have some reservations. Certainly, I think there is a need there. But to jump a salary at one time to $12,000, I think that... that should be $6,000, see how things go along for the first year, and then do what you want to in the next year's budget. We didn't get it in this year's budget, and I realize it's one of these late things, but it should have been, if we're going to do it, it should have been in this year's budget. So I think we should start off with $6,000 and consider him or her the next time.
And where does this $12,000 come from?
Contingency.
We'll have about 100 and, I mean, 200 in personnel carryover this year.
There's going to be a lot of departments that will have remaining funds left for personnel.
Yeah, we'll have near a couple hundred thousand in personnel savings this year, which is good. That goes back to fund balance. But in this case, because it wasn't specifically part of the budget process, although I proposed it in the budget, it wasn't approved in the budget process, therefore it's not in the base budget, therefore it normally comes from personnel contingency, which pays for any new positions, changes positions, increases in benefits, or things like that.
How is the $12,000 determined? You had some idea.
Sure. So the current salary level for direct finance director is $12,500 below average market for that position.
Correct.
Which doesn't mean you have to be at that position, but that's average market.
the area average for deputy county administrators is at 100,000 plus. But today on VACO, yesterday on VACO, what the advertisements, Madison County is currently advertising for a deputy county administrator / finance director, same type of position, at 85,000. This position would be to 82.5. Mm-hmm. Now, it wouldn't be at 82.5 immediately. It'd be at less than that. I think it would start at 80 on the July 1st payday.
80, right.
And then at the 2% pay increase this fall, we wouldn't add it on to the full amount. It's incremental, so it'd be part now and then 2% at that raise to take it to the 82.5, which is what the request was, 82.5. So it'd be at 80 and some change, 80,800, and then go to 82.5 with the 2% in December. So it's a five-month window from then. If this were approved, it would be effective the June 26th payday, because that would be the first pay period in July, the new fiscal year.
Right. I looked at the job description, and the job description to me looked like more than 12,000.
Well, I can assure you, there are a lot of jobs that aren't at market, but we're looking at Fluvanna rates, and we're looking at an initial salary in this position.
The position also, if you looked at it, and this wasn't proposed, the director of finance's position is significantly below, and on the pay plan would be at the maximum of the increase. So there would be a significant increase if this didn't go across anyway, because of
In the fall pay plan, the
fallout, it would be about, I think, a 10%.
It goes to 79,328 from
72. So it's not that,
So you're talking about a $3,000 difference.
It's a $3,000 difference of what they would be receiving.
And looking at the job description, as you see it, Mr. Nichols, how much is that going to kind of take some of the pressure off of you? In which areas? The evaluation,
I can tell you that I already took some pressure off today, because I sent Mr. Dahl to the regional broadband meeting at TJPDC instead of me going. Right. There's been a variety of those things. So he's already been tasked with taking on some of those functions to allow me not to have to go do those.
Mm-hmm.
We can continue. There's no reason why we can't continue on the path we are, but the amount of work that keeps getting added on will become less and less efficient and less and less effective. You can only put so many hours in. Plus, I'm trying to train and groom people to take my place.
And nor do we want to add on too much to Mr. Dahl either.
No, I don't. I wouldn't ask for it if I did. If I thought this was too much for too little compensation, I certainly think over time we're going to need to look at the compensation for that. But that's a budget year process.
Right.
I do think that it is a significant increase in duties, but it'll still be about 25%. Deputy County Administrator work and 75% finance, at least initially.
Okay,
but
now
as the role matures, it will continue to change. Yeah.
So his financial responsibilities are weaved into this job description.
Yeah, he has still exactly the same responsibilities as finance director, although I would suspect when we hire Mrs. Twisdale's replacement, that we're going to certainly hope that person can do a lot of the day-to-day things and support the department. Ms. Twisdale certainly could have.
Right.
But because she moved to Chesapeake, we're in the process of hiring a replacement. We just need to make sure that replacement has similar skills to what Mariana had.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Anyone else have any conversation about this? Or?
No.
Okay. Mr. Barry?
Okay. If there's no more conversation. Yeah.
Now, one note, because what you haven't seen yet is we're going to be on your June 1st agenda. We're going to be coming to you to talk about the pay plan that you approved in the budget to make some tweaks to it. I don't think it's going to be any more expensive. It would just be realigning the way we do the pay plan so that we meet the state requirements. Right now, the state budget guidance for state-supported local employees says you have to give the 2%, you have to certify in writing that the 2% raise was given to all employees. So, for instance, in this case, I'm not intending on giving something a promotion and then another 2% on top. So that's why I've changed the plan here to do an initial promotion to that amount and then do the 2% on top that takes us to the original amount we proposed, not the original amount plus 2%. Mm-hmm. So because you approved specifically a plan in the budget process that's slightly different than that, because we were hoping the state language would change, I'm going to need to make sure we get it clear on what the pay plan is so that every employee knows what it is. But again, we're waiting on the state estimates now too. You've seen in the papers recently about the revenue shortfalls. The revenue receipts were down significantly in April. So
that's what I'm wondering about. They said they might not have the money for that 2%
right
raise.
And what they're talking about, what they focused on, was 3% for state employees. Undercurrent to that was the 2% for state-supported local employees, and I'm not sure what it is. Now, it's not a huge dollar amount for our county, but we're going to run those numbers to make sure you have it. We'll have those for you before the June 1st meeting, but I want to at least make sure we're not obligating the board to a bunch of extra dollars that weren't budgeted for because the state says you have to give a raise. So as part of that proposal, we would be proposing that instead of when you hire someone, if you're going to make an offer of, let's say, $40,000 for a position, don't make the offer at $40,000. Make the offer at 2% less than $40,000. So and tell the person that when they're hired, they would be at $38,000, or not what 30.
They would have 30, a 2% increase.
$39,200, I guess it would be. So $39,200, and that there is a proposed 2% raise December 1st. If that raise comes into effect, then it takes them to the 40. But I don't want it to be additive on top of there when it's a new hire or a new promotion. It just doesn't make fiscal sense to do that. But I also have to make sure that we meet the state guidelines. And so anyway, we'll discuss that in greater detail at your June 1st meeting. But that's already been taken into account in this one, just to make sure that it doesn't exceed the dollar value that we requested, the 82.5.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry, one more thing. And the reason I brought that up is because on here, the $12,045 out of fiscal year 17, that includes the initial and then the 2%. So okay. It won't be $12,045. Right. It's actually like $11,998. It's a little less than this. But it's part of it in June and July. And then the other 2% would be in December with the December raise.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I move to approve the creation a new deputy county administrator / finance director position, classification 1191, pay band 24, effective June 26, 2016, for a total payroll increase of $12,045, with such funds to come from FY17 personnel contingency.
All right. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion by Mrs. Eager and a second by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Nah.
Chair, Vice Chair votes aye. 3-1.
Thank you, Board.
All right. Okay. Moving right along. Sheriff Department server upgrade and IT support. Ms. Toler, Cindy?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Okay, we're going to talk about the Sheriff's Department server upgrade. They are in dire need for. Most of their equipment that they have is well past its useful lifespan. They are having regular failures, servers going down, causing reboots, downtime, and there's always the possibility of a complete failure and losing all the data that they have, which would really be a bad thing. All the current servers that they have been pieced together through the years, so there's no continuity. Everything is just bits and pieces here and there. In FY 2015, the Sheriff's Department spent over $48,000 in IT expenses alone due to those servers. So far in this year, they've already spent over $47,000. The majority of the calls were because of the failing servers. Once we replace all those servers, those calls will go down, those costs will go down. so it won't be that bad. As part of the 2016 CIP, they were allotted $82,905 to spend on a server upgrade. NWG has been chosen to bring the solution. They're proposing one physical server, four virtual servers. This also leaves lots of extra space for future IT needs, so we're thinking ahead as well, so we don't, you know, whatever comes up, we don't have to start piecing together. We've got more space. NWG will work with the Sheriff's Department to develop an IT business continuity plan that's going to keep all their internal mission-critical applications running through disaster scenarios. Part of that plan will be the addition of the Datto Sirius 2 appliance. This backs the data up on servers at regular intervals to allow the minimum possible downtime in the event of a failure, catastrophe, whatever might happen. NWG is also going to run semi-annual tests on that program to make sure it's running optimally so that we don't have any issues with public safety. And a little bit about the Datto 2, and this comes from their website, permanently eliminates downtime going beyond simple backup to deliver true business continuity. Sirius protects business data easily and affordably with a hybrid cloud solution focused on fast recovery. No matter what happens, Sirius delivers the most aggressive recovery time objective of any solution available today. And it does it does back up on both coasts, so that even if there is a disaster, you know, regional disaster, our information is still backed up either on the East Coast or West Coast. So we're not going to lose any of our data. The total cost for the server, install, parts, labor, migration, testing, everything, is $58,502.66. Then there's also a one-time cost of $4,000 for the business continuity plan. And again, that comes well under the $82,000 that was allotted for the project. There does also come a monthly cost for the Datto service. That's $1,103.79, a total of $13,245.48 annually. Due to the nature and demand of the E911 system, we do require outside maintenance for emergencies and for maintenance on the Sheriff's Department IT needs. They do require 24-hour-a-day assistance. Our county IT is just not staffed to accommodate them for that. NWG does offer one-hour response time. They even have a technician who lives right here in Fluvanna County. They're going to, and is what they have been doing in the past, now we're just actually going to have a contract with them. They're going to sell us prepaid time in blocks for discounted rates. So we're going to pay them ahead of time for 20 hours of regular service, 20 hours of remote service, 5 hours of emergency time. And then as we use it, it'll come down off of that time. And that doesn't mean we have to buy it all again once something runs down. Once the on-site hours run down, we only have to pre-buy a block of the on-site hours, not everything. There is no expiration on that time, so we can continue to use it. If we choose to cancel our contract with them, they will refund us whatever we have not used. Any questions? Nothing?
Yeah, I suspect one of the reasons why the Datto cost is so high in reading the contract is, and I don't know that, I'm not questioning whether it should or shouldn't be done, just one of the reasons that cost is so high is because it looks like you would be backing up the data from the camera and surveillance system, which is going to be large video data, onto that. And so the question there really becomes, how quickly does that, or how important is that data, and how much time does that need to be available, and are there other solutions that would save?
That is actually something that we talked about, that large of data, when we were interviewing these companies. And I don't think we ever really came up with a consensus, other than it does need to be saved for a certain amount of time. But it's something we can sit down with NWG and decide how long does that information have to stay on there, how long do we need to keep it. or even, you know, do we really need it to, that part of it to back up on the data, or do we need it to back up on something else?
Yeah, and that's really the question, is you might be able to find a more cost-effective solution
yeah.
for that. Data is certainly a good system. It's a good choice for that. Gives you the ability to recover relatively quickly with an on-site system as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we recommend it in our firm. I don't have any issues with that, but noting that high monthly cost for that particular service would be something that you might want to look
and,
at.
And we can relook at that cost. NWG is charging us for that cost, what they are being charged. Mm-hmm. So they don't have a markup in the data cost. They do in their parts and obviously on their labor, but not in that cost.
But the volume that we need to back up can be looked at. And
yeah, that can be looked at and adjusted.
If the state comes out with formal regulations or even strong guidelines on how long to retain, you know, camera footage and things, we'll
yeah.
have a better
and that's
idea.
The biggest problem is there just aren't any guidelines as to what they're supposed to keep them at this point.
Is there any negotiation on that monthly charge?
As whatever usage we go down with, we can adjust that monthly charge, yes.
But that's on conditions of what we do. I'm talking
right.
about...
No, that Datto charge is the charge from Datto. We don't have any control over what NWG is paying them, no.
And there's no other competition per se much.
Not,
I don't know. You probably know more.
Not that was presented to us.
Well, there are certainly other backup solutions and other companies that pay. I mean, you could manage it using Amazon Store. You could manage it by buying software that does it. So there are other approaches and solutions. Part of the Datto model and part of why they are doing so well as a company, it's grown tremendously quickly, is because they offer the appliance in-house, so that appliance, in theory, will allow you to, if you had a total failure of the server, will allow you to spin up the machines virtually. But if you had a failure remotely, if you had a total failure, i.e. you couldn't use any of the servers or the Datto server in place here, they would let you spin up on their cloud. So you can spin back up on the cloud relatively quickly from that standpoint and keep you operational. Given the sort of 24/7 requirements that you're looking for from the, you know, operations of the sheriff's office, that's a good secondary solution. You could find other solutions, such as hosting another your own server and synchronizing the data between those two servers. That's more upfront monthly cost, upfront initial cost, but maybe a lesser monthly cost because you're not paying a secondary provider to manage that. But, you know, from a backup standpoint, Datto offers kind of a full, complete, end-to-end solution from that standpoint. So a little bit expensive, but you get what you pay for on that side. You know, having said that, there are no real details spelled out on the disaster continuity plan that they're looking at implementing for $4,000.
Not as of yet, no.
Yeah, so those details, you know, in reality, part of what you're buying with Datto is that disaster recovery.
Is that disaster recovery, correct.
But it depends on what the specifications are. You can add other components to that. So since that detail is not included there, and it wasn't really clear to me looking at it, if you were saying it was going to be just a $4,000 one-time cost, but they're committing to do it semi-annually.
Yeah,
so
it's a $4,000.
Semi-annually cost, is that going to be used as part of your retainer? Those details aren't specified.
Yeah,
right
it
there.
Is a $4,000 upfront one-time cost. They will run it and tweak it and change it, and 6 months down the road, they'll test it again. If we require them to test it past there, that'll come off of our time, our block time that we are buying from them. But it is just a one-time $4,000 charge and then the six-month test.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. And the idea behind it is if something happens to the building, we can move our emergency operations center somewhere else and still be backed up on that information. We don't actually have to be in the sheriff's department in order to get the information we need out of the servers because it's backed up in the Datto.
Okay. Any other questions? Are we ready for the motion?
You want to do it, Tony?
No.
No?
She's on a roll.
It's your initiation tonight. You have
okay.
to make all the motions.
I move to approve the contract between NWG Solutions, LLC, and Fluvanna County to install a server upgrade at a cost of $62,502.66 and provide as needed IT services to the Sheriff's Department, and further authorize the county administrator to
execute the agreement subject to approval as to form by the county attorney.
All right, do we have a second?
A second.
All right, we have a motion by Mrs. Eager and second by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Vice Chair votes aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, now we have the consent agenda. U, minutes of May 4th, 2016. B, selection of bond counsel. W, accounts payable report for April. Would anyone like to pull anything before we make our motion?
What about W?
Okay.
Just a few items there.
Accounts payable report.
Hopefully it won't be too painful.
Never painful. It's interesting.
Yeah.
We identify stuff.
Especially when I get those $30 items, you know.
Some of those are important.
I know they are. Let's see. I just like some comments on 311.
Let me get these.
Number 311. Rector and visitor. Professional service, EMS. How are we coming along on that? I noticed that's a payment of $51,000. Can we get some more input on that?
Sure. We've been on target on the EMS billings.
Oh, yes, it's running about $50,000 a month.
When we had the one crew during the day before, it was right around the $20,000-$25,000 range, and now with the night crew added, that's we've been averaging
we're
right around
within
that.
The $600,000 we had projected.
I thought it was this fiscal year, wasn't it, $250,000?
No, that's revenue collection, sir. This
yes, revenue
for
collection.
The crews.
This is paying for the
this is paying for the AMS crew.
Oh, okay.
That's with the University of Virginia Medic 5 is the AMS crew, the contract crew.
But yes, we are looking to be on target for the $250,000.
Yes, on target for that. We couldn't miss that. 337. I just like some comments about that. Bring me up to date on what we did or are doing there.
It's not just the Kent Store Firehouse, though. It's a list of items.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, it's very. It only shows the first item on that bill. Mr. Dahl's working on a way to provide a more detailed report so you can see lines, but it'll just make the report a lot longer.
Basically, that's the $19,000 to CII service. That's obviously more than one one invoice.
I'm just sort of curious. There's a big figure on what major items are maybe in that to shove it up that high. You might have a truck or something. I don't know.
No, this is all AC work. That's HVAC work.
I'll get it tomorrow.
Well, that's what I don't know. Don't understand it.
We'll get the breakdown
for you. We'll give you a listing of it.
Okay. 346. Let me get my page here. Yes, I was.
What number?
346. Installed new washers. What was that?
That's going to be the same thing, Mr. Weaver. You know, so the way that each department rolls up, you'll see under. What are we under here? We're under facilities. There's only one vendor, line for Gary Osteen Plumbing, and any invoices that we've paid that vendor for the month roll up in that one line. So you're not going to see multiple checks under that one vendor under the facilities budget. We're working to break it out so every single check will show up. If say we paid Osteen Plumbing for five different invoices or something like
right.
that. This is just a roll up, and like I said, it'll make the report probably, you know,
three times longer.
Well, right. If not longer than that. Yeah.
But I mean, it's electronic. I mean, in here, so it's not that big a problem.
So you just press a button.
No, it's not a crazy report.
Yeah,
it's not a canned report, and you have to create a format.
Yeah, when you see a whole figure like that, installed new washers, that's...
But remember, in almost every one of those you see,
yes,
for a contractor.
Yeah,
it's just the first item on the list, but we'll do a breakout of it.
Okay.
Well, maybe we need to look at the breakout, because the breakout, to me, may not help.
Well, it would just tell you what they did do in that amount.
But
I mean, each invoice is broken up and referenced.
Well, you know, like I wonder, did we pay $600 to get a hot water tank fixed? I could make a little bit of comparison mainly where we are in the ballpark on some expenses.
Instead of installing new washers for $1,000.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, on this one, I think this one, we can break it out however you want, but it will make the report exponentially longer.
But we can
what
do
I would
that.
Suggest first is come in and sit down so we can go through how the process works, and then we'll figure out what you really want that you want to make sure the public sees, and then we can feed it into the report so that way it's part of the public record, and you can ask questions about it too. But it would be helpful to show you what those are comprised of, because we want to make sure we display what you're interested in so that the public sees it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, a lot of this, the public are concerned about the bills. I've heard them talk about it in the past. And I think it's being responsible if you do go over the bills. As overseers.
Except that there's no way that you can go through 10,000 bills every month. But that's why I want to vet it with you, because there's a way to probably do it that'll meet your needs,
okay,
and the citizens' needs. But we want to be able to show you that what it's okay. comprised of, because we can do it.
That's fine.
Yeah, the citizens can come in too and ask questions.
Well, you could have the place filled up with citizens; they'd never get anything done. You know, I mean, you know how that goes.
We just want to make sure we tailor this so that it presents the information in an understandable way for you and for citizens, and then get it in the package all the time. So if we can just
okay.
go through it, help.
We'll get together then.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm through with that. Are you ready for a motion?
Yes, sure.
Madam Chair,
yes.
I move that the minutes of May the 4th, 2016, selection of bond counsel and the accounts payable in the amount of $1,931,410.08 be approved.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. We have a motion by Mr. Weaver, second by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Vice Chair votes aye, and our chair is here. And
am I allowed to vote now?
We're approving the...
Not on that one.
You should have since you weren't there.
Okay. Now, Mr. Chair, we are at unfinished business. You can take it from here.
Unfinished business. I timed that one just right. I saw the accounts payable up on the thing. I knew where we were. Is there any unfinished business?
I have a question about, the NASA refrigerator building. We talked about that time where they were trying to expand and do a larger building. What happened with
Fluvanna Christian Service Society has just never come back with their plan to move forward. So we're just waiting on them.
I'm getting two different stories, so I think we need to maybe... Can we touch base with them?
Yes, we can, but the Fluvanna Christian Service Society, it knows exactly what the next step is, and it's in their hands. We've talked to Everett Hanna multiple times.
I don't think they do.
Okay.
Would you please see that they do?
We will reach out to them.
All right.
Would be appreciated.
Yes.
No problem.
Thank you, sir. All righty. Any other unfinished business?
I have some. I've got a couple of proposals that I'd like you to look at. And I've got one for you too.
Is it unfinished or new?
This is on one is economic development, and I'd like to bring this to you.
Is it unfinished?
Well, this would be under new.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then
okay.
Maybe under old is the division of the house lots. We spoke about that last month. It's in the minutes.
Division
of by right home lot division for mm-hmm. landowners.
Mm-hmm.
What I've come across and the planning department, who I don't see right now, has been working with a young family who are trying to build a house. They bought the land. It's 24 acres, and they cannot get a conventional loan because it's at 24 acres.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to allow landowners with 12 acres or more to subdivide the 2 acre under their residence to a separate lot to facilitate the ability for landowners to obtain a conventional mortgage. Currently, homes on parcels larger than 2 acres cannot obtain a conventional mortgage, resulting in a much higher interest cost than standard conventional mortgages. So it's a problem for particularly for young people.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular family had a home. It sold quickly. And so they moved in with their parents. And so they'd like to move onwards and build a home for themselves.
Okay, well, now, would that be Mr. Payne's?
It's a, we require change to the subdivision ordinance.
Yeah.
So we'll have to look at it, get it through the county attorney's office, and then to the planning commission for a public hearing, and then up to you for a public hearing.
It would seem there's, you know, we probably need the planning commission to state what the impacts might be and those kinds of things.
Yeah, I mean, it was, it's going to have to be better. We have to look at it.
Okay. Yeah. What you're going to need to do is, to, is Mrs. Eager's concern is a valid one, because as the lenders do are reluctant to loan money for a house for a large parcel. They like to do it on a minimal parcel.
Why is that?
Because it's easier to sell.
Okay.
If they need a foreclosure.
Right. Somebody doesn't want 24 acres or whatever, right?
Right. There's a lot less market for a 24-acre lot with a house on it than there is for a 2-acre lot with a house on it.
But, for example, what would happen if you subdivide and then you sell that property?
Well, that's...
And
that's,
then you, sub, you, you, have the, you, know, you say you started at 12, you went to 10. Now, as the owner of the 10-acre you choose to build on, you get to subdivide again.
That's the...
You could get around the whole situation, right?
The art we need to apply to this would have to be something like it's, and I'm not using any technical language now, but you would use a sort of a conditional subdivision, which would apply only to the lender. That is, the lender could foreclose 2 acres, but it couldn't be sold separately.
Those kinds of things would be the questions that would be important.
I think that could be done, but just. We need to be careful how we write it.
Right. Mm-hmm. I met with the planning department, and they suggested that that they do a family subdivision, and they could, because they had ample amount of road frontage at 600 feet, more than 600 feet, so there was enough for each, for the remaining lot to have an entrance, and or the road frontage that's needed, and the 2-acre lot. So when he went back to the bank with this, they said, no, you can't do that, because there's a clause in our family subdivision that says that it says that the bank can, you can foreclose, but it wasn't good enough for the bank. So even though we've made that contingency in the subdivision ordinance, they still wouldn't accept it.
Well, it may be that we're gonna pursue this. We need to have more input from the lenders.
Yeah.
Because I will tell you that since the difficulties of 2007 and 2008
and Dodd-Frank,
the lenders for residential uses have become very, let's say, very careful about what they do. It's changed the real estate business, the aspects of actually closing these things with these loans, so that I would say a majority, certainly a substantial percentage of lawyers no longer participate in it. We don't participate in it anymore. So we could represent you buying a $4 million commercial property, but we would not represent you buying a $100,000 townhouse. And that's because primarily...
That costs the people more money to go.
Oh, absolutely.
That.
Yes,
a lot of more
fun. The lenders have done is the federal government has imposed all these sort of interim provisions for these lenders, and the lenders have worked very hard to shift it on to everybody else. So it's these loans are very difficult to deal with. I'm not exaggerating when I say that a $4 million commercial or industrial transaction is at least 100% easier than a $100,000 residential loan.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Say that.
All righty. So we're going to send that on to the planning commission and just work through the start at the beginning and go back.
All right. Now, and specifically, the work session on the 15th is about some of these top two ones anyway. So we'll be talking about that night.
Okay.
Alrighty. Any new business?
The new business I was to bring up is under economic development. And we have talked about this before, creating economic development overlay zones in and around the community development area. in the comprehensive plan approach local landowners to determine those interested in selling to incoming businesses and create a database of available parcels virtually guaranteed to produce favorable treatment of business rezoning application requests. This allows the landowner to offer business inventory without being taxed off their land by business property taxes prior to a sale, and still provides available business property inventory to the county. And the other proposal I had is to instruct the Commissioner of Revenue to establish a separate business tax rate, not the personal property rate, and set the rate considerably lower than Louisa County business rate, which is $1.90 per $100 value in Louisa versus our $4.35 per $100 value in Fluvanna. I've talked to Mel, and he can do that. He has 8 different categories of how to create taxes and tax.
But you have to do it. The board has to do it.
Oh yeah, but it can be done.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. There's no reason why it can't be set at all.
And recently, I don't remember which county that they did that. They set their business rate much lower.
Well, Louisa's business rate is 190, and their commercial rate, or their non-business rate, is 245 or 250. 253, I think. It's an odd number.
Uh-huh. Compared to our
435.
But they raised their personal property rates this year by 53 cents, I think. So maybe it's 243. But they did not raise their business personal property; they left it at 190. Mm-hmm. So, well, for the June 15th meeting, this is some of the things that are on the June 15th agenda for that work session that I requested. We'll cost out what the change will be at various levels of as a business personal property tax, what the revenue decreases would be.
Right, because we're not capturing that now. So, I guess we're thinking on the same wave.
There's a whole. I can't wait to preview all that stuff for you on the 15th, because we really need, we've got a lot of ideas. The commissioner and Mr. Dahl and I have been working on that. Commissioner's got some great alternatives and avenues, but it requires board direction, so that's why I want to get it to you all. And then the ordinances, the subdivision, zoning, and regular ordinances really need a lot of updates in a variety of areas to prepare us for Zion Crossroads, but also to take care of some of the things in the county that the board's been talking about for a number of years, but aren't allowed by our zoning or by our ordinances. So.
Right. Well, you can pass these down.
Okay.
Pass those down. Thank you.
Okay, anyone else with new business? Alrighty. Then we have no more new business. I will now open the floor for the second round of public comment. Please keep your comments, or please state your name and address when you approach the microphone. Keep your comments to the board, and you have 5 minutes. Anyone wishing to speak to the board at this time? Okay, I will close the second round of public comments. Mr. Weaver.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chair, I move that the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors enter into a closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711 8.1, Section 2.2-3711 8.3, Section 2.2-3711 8.6, Section 2.2-3711 8.7 of the Code of Virginia 1950, as amended, for the purpose of discussing personnel, real estate, investment of funds, and legal matters.
Second.
I have a motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye.
Mr. Chair, I move the closed meeting be adjourned and the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors convene again in open session. Be it resolved, the Board of Supervisors does hereby certify that to the best of each member's knowledge, only public business matters lawfully exempted from open meeting requirements under Section 2.2-3711-A of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended, and only such public business matters as were identified in the motion by which a closed meeting was convened were heard, discussed, or considered in the meeting, a second and a recorded vote needed.
Second.
I have a motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Ms. Booker. Ms. Zeager.
Aye.
Ms. Weaver. Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Do we have a motion to extend?
Well, we
have
to extend.
I mean, yeah. Motion to extend.
Excuse me.
I meant to say extend.
Yeah.
I heard
Mr. Chair. I moved to extend the meeting until 12 o'clock.
I moved to adjourn the meeting.
No, we got to extend.
I second it.
Motion's been made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Ms. Cooper. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Any other business before you quit?
We have a motion made by Ms. Eager, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Chair votes aye.
Yippee. Good